when we are together of the same mindset, in unity, pulling in the same direction, the power of God is loosed in that place, in that community, that church. And I'm reminded of a yoke of oxen. We don't see those much anymore these days. We see big Steiger tractors or John Deere's out in the field and whatever. But back then, there was a yoke of oxen. And they would keep each other in line. And in many cases, there was one ox that was experienced in farming and would be able to keep a straight furrow. Okay? And then he would be getting old, so they would put a younger ox in that yoke with them, right? Remember, it goes around their neck, and they're side by side, nearly touching each other. Okay? And the purpose of that was to keep, to give strength to the older oxen because they're slowing down, okay? But that ox was wise. That ox was smart, and that knew what the master wanted and knew what the master was telling it to do. And it recognized the taps from the whip or whatever they were using, okay, or the reins. The other oxen had all the strength and the bulk and the cockiness maybe, and he might not like that yoke on him. He might not like being told what to do. Sound familiar? Okay? But that yoke, that ox had all the strength and was able to do the job where the other one was starting to lose their strength, okay? But this guy thought he knew everything, but he didn't know what the taps from the reins meant or from the whip. And so together, all right, the strength is there and the wisdom and the experience is there. Because if you got all the strength in the world without any wisdom or experience, it's going to take you to a bad place, all right? Not that I've experienced that, of course. I've heard it said that way. Somebody told me that, okay? You know where I'm going. But if you have wisdom with strength, experience with vigor, that is an unbelievable combination. And so it is in our churches. It's healthy for the ones that have been doing the jobs for many years, the ones that have all the experience, to begin teaching those that have all the energy and health and strength, but maybe not so much knowledge or wisdom or experience. And so you couple those things together, and it's a formidable force. Do you understand? And that's healthy in a church. That's healthy. Because there is a lot to do in the kingdom of God. The master's garden needs tending constantly. You follow me? God's people need care constantly. And when those that have been doing it for years and years and years begin to get tired, somebody has to pick up the job. Somebody's got to pick up that hoe. Somebody's got to carry the flag if they begin to fall. Do you understand what I'm saying? We've been talking the last few weeks about the Holy Spirit, been talking about water and how the scriptures talk a lot about water. If you read through Isaiah, Isaiah talks about water an awful lot. The Psalms. These living waters. The waters that we're talking about are quite a bit different than the water that we see, the water that we drink. And I just want to ask you a few questions, and you can shout out the answers, okay? Yeah, we're in church, but I'm giving you a little bit of a leeway here. You can shout out some stuff at me, okay, without getting in trouble. Okay? So what I'm asking of you today is, what are some of the characteristics of water, okay? Before you answer, not necessarily liquid, but water itself. What are some of the characteristics of water? All right, throw them at me. Huh?
Cleansing.
Cleansing, very good.
Thirst quenching.
Heavy. Heavy, okay. Fluid, very good. Fresh. Flows, minerals. Wow. Huh? Cohesive, yes, very much so. Huh? Hydration. Changes its shape, changes its form. Yes. Flows, very good. Others? Soothing. Others? Life. Okay, very good.
Purity,
very good. Fills up the holes, cracks, whatever. Anything else? Huh?
CO2,
okay, okay. H2O, I think, is where you're headed, right? What? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Huh? Necessity. Very good. Okay, these are all excellent, excellent answers. All right. So let's just kind of recap here a little bit some of the things that came in. It cleanses, right? It washes. It, what about this? Sometimes it's gentle, right? Sometimes it's what? Strong or forceful, powerful, right? It quenches thirst. It can be, how about this? It can be either deep or shallow, okay? It can be dirty or clean, right? It flows. It brings life, but it can also bring destruction or death. All right? We've all seen that, most of us. We talked in the past few weeks here about tsunamis and floods. Okay? Think about Noah, the story of Noah. All right? Everyone except, and everything, mind you, except for Noah and his family and the animals that God made go into the ark. And the Bible says God closed the door. Okay? All of those things are the things that survived the flood. Everything else died. Okay? And we talked about the necessity. Someone mentioned it's a necessity. Water is a necessity. We can't live very long without water at all. Okay? And we can live over a month without any food. All right? We're going to be in rough shape, but we can live. All right? But without water, our bodies deteriorate. Okay? And some of you who are in school, and maybe you've heard this this ratio, if you will, but there is roughly 70% of the Earth's surface is covered with what? Water. It's covered with water. Isn't that interesting? And we talked a little bit about the Serengeti Plains, right? And we see it on any National Geographic buffs here. All right. I love National Geographic. I just absolutely love nature. I love watching it. I love being out in it. I love camping. I just eat it up. And on the Serengeti Plains, most of the year, there is no rain. No rain. Okay? And when that happens, it just dries it up so bad that the ground just cracks, right? And all the vegetation dies. Everything dies, okay? But it doesn't stay that way. And we've all seen how all the animals congregate around these few little watering holes that still hold water, okay? And so that becomes a pretty volatile place when you've got animals of different kinds congregating around this water hole, okay? And some of those animals eat the other animals, okay? But when the rainy season comes, there is a few months of a rainy season. That is March, April, and May. Okay? And it rains. It begins to rain slowly at first. The storms move in. And the storms on the Serengeti are really, really powerful. Very powerful. And it starts to rain. And it begins to downpour this rain. And the ground that is so hard that the water for a while just sets on the top. It's just so hard and compact. It's like cement. And then after a little while, the water begins to soften the ground and makes it permeable. And then the ground begins to suck in the water and take it in, okay? And then the rains go off. And then they come back in a few more hours and they torrentially downpour some more. And the ground begins to take in so much water that it can't absorb it anymore. And then when it can't absorb it anymore, it begins to run along the surface of the ground. And pretty soon there's a little trickle of a stream, if you will. All right? And then the clouds go away. And then they come back a few hours later and they're just torrentially downpouring some more rain. And then pretty soon there is a steady stream of waters that are collected in a certain area and they begin to move. And now these waters are reaching farther and farther and farther, even where the rains are not getting. Okay? And then as this water begins to cover the ground, and it actually fills this basin, this area that we're talking about, the Serengeti Plains, makes up about 12,000 square miles. 12,000 square miles. Okay? And the Serengeti is the place that houses the largest mammal migration in the whole world. Okay? And maybe you've seen videos of the wildebeest. Wildebeest. Over a million, I think it's like 1.2 million wildebeest in one season will move across the Serengeti Plains. It's unbelievable. And there's gazelle and buffalo and zebras and one of the largest lion populations on the earth are in this area, and elephants and giraffes. But the climate normally is just warm and very dry, but when the rainy season comes, it begins to flood the area. And when the water begins to touch everything that has died because of drought, all of these things begin to spring back to life. And everything begins to get this green, beautiful green color to it again. And I was looking, as I was researching this, I saw pictures from outer space looking back at the earth and how this 12,000 square mile area was just brown. It was just brown because it was all dead. And then it showed it after the rainy season had come. And it was just green. Everything was green. And you could see it from space. And there's two rainy seasons on the Serengeti, March to May, and then parts of October and November as well. I've asked Debbie Smart if she would come and read a portion of Scripture for me, if you would join me at John chapter 4, verses 1 through 30. I want to get you a mic here. Where'd that go? There it is. Excuse me. There you go. All right, whenever you're ready.
Okay. Then the Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, You would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and his herds? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, go call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. And Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Then Jesus declared, believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know the Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want, or why are you talking with her? Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? And they came out of the town and made their way toward him.
Thank you. Yep. Thanks. I know that we had gone over this scripture here recently, but I wanted to touch on this a bit. There's a bit more that I want to draw from this well, if you will. Back in verse 13, Jesus answered her, because she had asked him, where are you going to get this living water from? You know, are you greater than Jacob, our father who made this well and whatever, and fed himself, his family, his flocks, and herds? Are you greater than he? And Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Now, I want to show you something. I have a map here that I want you to just take a look at that helps explain a little bit about the location and where Jesus was coming from and where he was headed. So Jesus was coming from Judea in this area towards the bottom, okay? This area, and here is Samaria, and here's where he was headed. All right, that's his hometown right there, okay? So he was headed from here up to here. So the easiest way makes sense that it would be a straight shot, right? Most of the time, because the Samaritans and the Jews did not associate with each other, people that had to go from here to here would kind of beat feet over here along the Jordan River here. See that? Sometimes they would cross the Jordan River, go around, and then come back over. Okay? It was that much of a dissonance between the two of them. Okay? But Jesus knew that there was somebody there, that there were people there that needed to know the truth, that needed the good news of the gospel. And so he goes there to a place called Sychar, which is right here, right there, and that's where Jacob's well is, okay? Jacob's well still exists to this day. To this day. All right? That's a long time. And it was there long before Jesus ever came. Okay? And so he goes there, and he's at the well, and he asks this Samaritan woman to get him a drink. And she's surprised. She's taken back by this. Why are you asking me for something to drink? We don't associate with each other, and she knows it, and he knows it. But he's there anyway. He's there anyway, and he's seeking out somebody. We've talked before about how in the Bible, so often, God chooses the lower, the lowly people. Okay? And here the Jews are God's people, okay? And yet the Gentiles, everybody else pretty much, okay? The Gentiles, we are grafted in to this vine. The shepherds, the lowly shepherds, were entrusted with the message. The Christ child has been born. Go tell everybody. Okay? Thieves, liars, and the like were trusted with this message. Okay? And so now we have Jesus coming to Samaria, this place that is kind of untouchable and so on. But he meets this woman, and he speaks into her life. And he tells her things that nobody should know, especially somebody from another place. And she goes, and he tells her, go get your husband. Go get your, I don't have a husband. And she tries to pull the wool over his eyes. And he says, well, what you say is true. You've had five husbands, and the guy you're with right now, not your husband. Okay? Can you imagine the surprise? The surprise. And she runs back to town, and she says, you guys got to come see. Now, notice it says that she left her water jar there. She left it there. She found something greater. She found something more important. She found living water. Okay? And she goes back to town. She says, hey, everybody come look. You got to come check out this guy. He could be the Christ. I don't know. But he just told me everything I ever did. Come and look. And so the people come running. They come to see Jesus, right? And the disciples are coming back now because they were sent away to get some food or whatever. And so they're coming back and they see this going on. They're like, what in the world is he doing? Is he kind of slid off his rocker there a little bit? Or his cheese slid off his cracker maybe a little bit? Okay? But Jesus had a plan. Jesus had a plan. He was going to give this living water to these people, these lower people, okay? People that were thirsting for the truth. A time is coming and has now come when you will not worship on this mountain or that mountain, here or there, but you will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. Okay? And so all these people come back, and they too are talking to Jesus, and he begins to speak to them and teach them. And they sense that there's something different about this guy. They think that he very well could be the one, the Christ, the Messiah. And so what do they do? Let's look over in Verse 39. If we're talking about bearing fruit, let's talk about bearing fruit a little bit. Listen to this. In verse 39, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. All right? He told me everything I ever did. All right? So many believed just because of what she said. All right? Let's read on further. Verse 40. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them. How about that? They urged him to stay where they are. They wanted this living water. They wanted whatever it was that he had. And I'm sure that they didn't understand it, but they knew it when they saw it. And they wanted some. And so here we have two peoples that are at odds with each other. They don't associate. They don't touch each other. Okay? And here they are welcoming Jesus and the disciples into their homes to teach them. And because of his words in verse 41, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves. And we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." This living water had flowed to a different location, wouldn't you say? This living water, this Holy Spirit that Jesus was talking about, has gone to a different location and sprouted life in Samaria. Do you understand? Turn with me to John chapter 7. Verse 37. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice. Now, just right there, you can notice a few things. Jesus stood. Many cases, when they were teaching, they would sit and relax, okay? But this time, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice. So he's wanting to get people's attention. He's wanting more than just the immediate people that are around him to hear what he's got to say. So he stands up, projects his voice, okay? And he says, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not been glorified. So listen, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Are you thirsty? This kind of begs that question, doesn't it? Are you thirsty? Are we thirsty? Are we as Christians thirsty? Are we as believers thirsty? Sometimes I really wonder. Sometimes I wonder. Sometimes I wonder about myself. I get so preoccupied with things that don't matter. Do you understand what I'm saying? I get so preoccupied with things that really, in the scope of all that's going on, don't really matter. Are we thirsting for what is real, for the truth? Are we thirsting? When you're thirsty, you want to quench that thirst. That is a really uncomfortable thing. How many of you have ever had to speak in front of people, and as soon as you get up there, you got this dry mouth and your tongue sticking to the top of your mouth, and you just can't get it. You just want a glass of water or something, right? Or maybe you've played on sports or you exercise or whatever the case may be. It's not long till you're thirsting and you need to keep that liquid inside of you. You'll see on the sidelines of football. Did anybody catch that game last night, by the way? The Packers and Cardinals. Oh, my goodness. Wow. What a game. Okay, back. So on the sidelines, you'll see the Gatorade, you know, and the guy, the water boy, whatever you want to call him, he's squirting in the guy's mouth, right? I don't know why they do that, but maybe it's a hygiene sort of thing where they're trying to keep from germs from spreading. I don't know. Anyways, they're trying to keep replenished, to keep those liquids, to keep hydrated, to keep in good health. You know it when you're thirsty. And the first thing you want to do is to quench that thirst. Give me something to drink to wash it down. To hydrate me. Rivers have a constant flow. Always moving. Springs. Constant bubbling flow, if you will. Maybe you've seen ponds that never freeze because there's a constant spring. There's a spring in the bottom of that pond that is moving the waters so it prevents it from freezing sometimes. The rivers of water, it signifies the plenty. Now listen to this. The plenty of spiritual influences with which believers shall be supplied. It signifies the plenty of spiritual influences with which believers shall be supplied. Things like joy, knowledge, spiritual gifts, graces, and the list goes on. And so if we are residing where the river is, if we continue to draw from the river, we will always have what we need. All that we need, I want you to listen to this. All that we need is found in endless supply in Christ Jesus, our Lord, through the Holy Spirit. Everything that we need is found in endless supply in Christ Jesus, our Lord, through the Holy Spirit. I want to read a scripture in Ezekiel because this really just paints a picture that is amazing. Ezekiel 47. verse 9. So this is talking about a vision or a dream, okay? And in this, in verse 9, listen to what it says. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Where the river flows, everything will live. On the Serengeti, where the water reaches, it brings life. And it transforms those 12,000 square miles into a plush garden, if you will. From a desert sort of place. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1. Are you with me this morning? Yes. Bless you. Isaiah 55, chapter 1. Come, all you who are thirsty. Come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and with it without cost. And it paints this picture of someone who is in want, in need of something, of food and drink. And he says, come, Come, all who are thirsty, all who are hungry, everybody that wants, come to me. And buy without paying. Okay? Buy without cost. I just want to read the next verse here. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good. And listen to this. And your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Maybe you've been to a nice restaurant before, and on the bottom of the menu it says the bill of fare. You ever seen that? Right? And it tells you what comes with your entree, your meal. Does it come with bread? Does it come with soup? Does it come with a salad? All these things that it comes with, the bill of fare, or whatever you want to call it, okay? And it's talking about the food and what comes along with it. Listen to me. As the Holy Spirit flows through us, we become channels through which this life-giving water flows to others. Listen to that again. As the Holy Spirit flows through us, we become channels through which this life-giving water flows to others. Some of you are gardeners here, or may have seen on different programs, farmers, where they have to irrigate their fields because there is no water where their fields are. And so they'll pipe it, they'll dig ditches, they'll run hoses to get the water from the source to where it's needed. To get the water from the place where it comes from to the place where it is not. Do you understand? And we've seen ditches and viaducts, and we drive under them and hoses and even vessels. They'll fill them up and then carry them from one place to the next to where it's from the source to where there isn't any. I told you before about this place called Las Pacayas in Guatemala. And they don't have water there, so they're dependent on this company. This brings this big old tanker truck to fill up these 55-gallon barrels and everybody else's jugs. And without that, the people don't have water. They're completely dependent on that in most cases. And I told you about how we had finally were able to get through that, but the people were still coming there, and the water was all gone already. It's not like that with God. It's not that way. We're never going to come to God thirsty. We're never going to come to God thirsty and walk away thirsty. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you're thirsty and you're going to God, you're never going to walk away thirsty, ever. He is the source of living water. The source of this living water. I think I told you already, Sister Edna and Brother Luis and Tim Archer, it looks as though, we still got to pray this through to completion, but plans are in the works now for a group of people in Albion, and they're not necessarily Christians, mind you, okay? They just got wind of what's going on down there, and they want to be a part of it. So they purchased or sent money to dig a well down there. That one's already running, right? That water system is already up and running. In San Cristobal, that's right where Victoriano lives. Okay, that town, that village. So it looks as though there's one going to be being put in in Las Pacayas. So we need to continue to pray that through. As the Spirit flows through us, we become channels or ditches or viaducts or whatever through which this life-giving water flows from the source, God Himself, Jesus Christ, to those who don't have it. You and me. Do you understand that? Do you understand? If we're not careful, we can miss so much just by reading over it. Okay. I can't tell you how many times I read through this scripture, John 4, and and never realized that they asked Jesus to stay with them in Samaria. We don't understand the depth and the greatness of that very statement. He stayed with them, and many believed because of what he said. The water was taken to a place where it was not. Do you understand the importance of your role in the kingdom of God? We carry the water, this life-giving water, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We carry the message. We carry it from the source, Jesus Christ, to places where it's dry and it's parched and the people are thirsty. And we give it freely to them. And where that water lands, where that water goes, it brings life. It brings life. We ourselves are not the water, are we? We are not the ones who give the life. We just bring the water. We just carry it with us, and we give it away. We give it away. But we are connected to the source of the water. Everything that we need is found in endless supply in Christ Jesus our Lord through the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is just such good news. I was trying to gather some different information and making sure I was understanding this right. And how many of you know that we don't have all the answers? I am the chief of that group. Okay? I don't have all the answers. I'm not a scholar. Okay? But I can do some digging and find out some stuff, as can you. All right? There are some of you sitting here today who know the Bible better than I do. Okay? That's good. That's really good. But it's important that we know the truth, isn't it? It's important because if we don't get it right, we're telling people wrong stuff. I don't want to do that. And so the Bible says to study, to show yourself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed. Okay? And so together we work and we dig into the Scripture and we study to pull out the nuggets of truth. Not to pull out something different that maybe hasn't been heard before, because there's people that do that and they'll try to publish it and sell it to make themselves money. Okay? We're digging for truth. We want truth. Because if it's not about truth, what's the point? If it's not about the truth, if we're not digging for truth, what's the point? Sometimes, oftentimes, people want something to tickle their ears. Give me something I ain't heard before. I heard all this stuff. Give me something I ain't heard before. I ain't got it. There's nothing new under the sun, the Bible says. Okay? It is what it is. It is what it is. And I'm not going to add something to it. We can't add to it or take away from it to make it fit into what we want it to. It is what it is in its entirety, the Word of God. Its entirety, all of it. There's some uncomfortable things talked about in the Word of God. We got to take it. Okay? We're talking babies being born of virgins. Okay? Difficult stuff. But God is asking us to believe because he said it. Okay? Okay. The Word of God in its entirety. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 11. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land, and will strengthen your frame. Doesn't that paint a picture for you? In another place, I think it's in Psalm 63 possibly, it says, "How my soul thirsts for you in this dry and weary land." We read that scripture a couple of weeks ago, or maybe even last week. But it just paints that picture in the, you know, that the graphic that was up there too, just that parched, that cracked ground. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. Listen to this. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. God is that to us. Okay? God is that stuff to us. He strengthens our frame. He makes us like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. He is that to us, and we, in a sense, are that to others. Okay? Again, we are not the water, but we are connected to the source. Do you understand? We can't give people what they need, but we can point them to it. We can connect them to it. We can bring the water to them so that they can take it in and be fed and come to life. Do you understand? John chapter 15. Does anyone know what that's about? Just by the scripture, John 15. No? Okay. When you think of John 15, the vine and the branches, okay? John chapter 15. I'm just going to read this for you here, and we're going to close. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain, here, listen, remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. Okay? So the branches that are cut off can't bear fruit. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Do you know that's God's desire for us? That we produce fruit in our lives. That we produce fruit. That we mature. That we don't remain little tiny oak trees. That we grow up. We become strong oak trees. That we don't remain little apple trees and so forth. You understand? That we produce some sort of fruit. I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. They're useless. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. You see, it's not all about asking anything that we want. We could have asked, some of us did, that we win the Powerball. Okay? Lord, you said I could ask whatever I want and that you're going to give it to me. Well, I asked and you didn't give it. I did. I just gave it to somebody else. It's talking about bearing fruit, showing ourselves to be his disciples, his representatives, his ambassadors. Okay? Down in verse 10, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. Down in verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command. We need to stay connected to the vine so that we can produce fruit. We need to keep drawing, keep ourselves connected to the source of the water, because without it, we become dry and parched and we die. It's God's desire that we become springs of living water so that we can flourish and that we can take that water and cause some other people to flourish.